Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage and hosted by Dirk Gray. My hope is you'll join me on Saturdays along with our guests as we explore all things senior. We're having a wonderful response from our senior community. You're calling, suggesting ideas, we're listening, and adding content, and please continue to do so. If you have suggestions for a topic or a guest you'd enjoy hearing from, please let me know. Okay, I'm joined in studio, as usual, by my producer, Bob. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon.
Gray Matters is dedicated entirely to all things senior. Each week, I have guests in the studio talking about what they know best and answering your questions and concerns. It will all be related to our senior population, news, community health, lifestyle, finance, real estate, events surrounding seniors, and many other topics. This show is brought to you by our sponsor, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, helping you move forward in reverse. Our website is www.reversenm.com, and our office phone number is 505-897-4900, or contact 770-KKOB.com, and go to the Gray Matters program page, and you'll find information there. Today on the show, my guests are Martha Kaser, is a family law attorney with Prezinger, Bezinger, Weidman, and Sale PC. I know I didn't say that right, Martha. And also Trish Lopez with Teniers. We're going to open up the phone line, so please call if you'd like to ask Trish a question. The phone number is 243-3333. Welcome to the show, Trish.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we made it. We had it scheduled before, and we had a little bit of a hiccup, but I'm glad you're here. I've been looking forward to it. And you know what? What a cool idea this is.
Thank you so much. So
how did you get, well, do this. How did you get started, and tell me about your background?
Okay. So, Teniers was an idea I pitched at a startup weekend for women, mm-hmm. the first one that happened in New Mexico in 2015. My background is in the film industry. So I graduated college from UNM, but my last year of college, I went to Cal State Northridge in Los Angeles, ended up interning at Sony and working in a management training thing in Warner Brothers Studios after that. I stayed in LA for about 6 years before returning, working for Governor Richardson and then running programs at the New Mexico Film Office.
So you're a creative type to begin with.
Not
and
really.
An entrepreneur.
I would not have identified that way before, but I was in the film industry for 13 years before my then partner and I had left. We're traveling for 2 years, had our baby girl who's now four, and moved back to New Mexico 3 years ago. So I had not lived in Albuquerque for 13 years before that. Anyway, I heard about Startup Weekend Women. It was not something at all I thought I was interested in. I was never striving to be an entrepreneur, but I was compelled to attend based on some friends' recommendations and ended up pitching the idea that became Teniers.
Well, it's such a cool idea.
Thank you.
And you know, of course, our show is about seniors, so it's ideal.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what Teniers is for your listeners who don't know.
Okay.
Teniers are tech-savvy teens and young adults who help seniors learn technology through one-on-one personal tutoring. So whether that's a cell phone, tablet, or computer, our goal is to empower seniors to connect with their loved ones, engage with their communities and the world through technology while providing meaningful jobs for young adults.
And I'm assuming that seniors love working with the kids.
Yes. I was really happy to, I mean, we did a ton of research on this and background before trying to get our first client. And I was really excited with how open the seniors were to learning from the younger people. And I knew that would be very meaningful to some seniors, but I didn't realize how meaningful it would be to the kids.
Uh-huh.
It's had an incredible impact on both generations.
So talk about why it's unique.
I think it's unique because I haven't seen anything like this done, actually, as an organization. We've all seen, everyone has seen, and everyone asks the younger people in their lives to help the older people in their mm-hmm. lives. But that doesn't mean they have any experience actually teaching them. So I'm one of those younger people, you know, theoretically, that was helping my mom, as were my brothers, every time she had a tech question. I mean, my mom loves technology.
Mm-hmm.
She also hates it several times a month when we get the phone call. and we can't always be there to help. She was the inspiration behind Teen Years, because when I pitched the idea, I was like, we need kids who have that patience to tutor someone, not say, okay, there, I fixed your problem, and hand back their phone.
Right.
It's really, our goal is to empower.
Uh-huh.
And as I always say, our main service really isn't tech support. It's human connection. And the level to which we recognize that and stay true to that is the level to which I think we'll succeed.
Interesting. Well, let me ask you this. When you are interviewing kids for the position, I'm assuming you have to do that at a depth where you know how they're going to potentially respond to a senior. Is that right?
Yes. When we first started, I mean, at first it was just kind of like, let's do some free coaching events at the senior centers around town and see how people take to this. And it was really cool. It was humbling even for the kids, because they're like, I've only used an iPhone. I don't know how to use that kind of phone. And so quickly it was kind of like, oh, listen, I will pick up that phone and figure out how to get to the email and the texting. You can too. But after a while, definitely found our groove, and we got so blessed. One of the places we've never really had trouble is recruiting.
Uh-huh.
I don't even make any recruiting efforts. I did one time, and we've been so fortunate with press that we constantly get applicants. But anyway, so I feel like we have the cream of the crop in the 13 teenagers we have now. Everyone who applies is just an amazing kid. But to have that ability to handle one-on-one communication, to become the coach in the room, and to have the skill in whatever the device is. Like, for example, some people are really comfortable with Android. Some people are uh-huh. really comfortable with Apple, iOS. Then it's pretty remarkable. And so, yeah, we have some great tutors, and we match them up based on who we think is perfect for that job.
How many clients have you served to date?
Oh, gosh, it's been hundreds. I would have to look at my spreadsheets to tell you exactly. And we've also served so many through free coaching, because I made a commitment to offer free services to seniors who can't afford to pay right when we started. So we've been in existence for a little over 20 months and have provided 23 free coaching events where we personally tutor hundreds. And so we've worked with hundreds, and it's a combination between those we've helped for free and those who've paid for their coaching.
You know what? My guess is you've had people contact you from outside of New Mexico saying, this is a neat idea. You know,
absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it was really validating, because we had women in Australia contact us. We've continued to have people in all across the United States say, does this exist in Virginia? Does this exist in Portland? Does this exist here? And so I would love to see Teen Years grow. Right now, I'm just trying to see if I can make Teen Years sustainable,
mm-hmm.
because we're certainly not taking in a ton of money, but we've just got such a great thing going that I hope we can make it work.
Well, you know, before we came into the studio, you were talking a little bit about that. So tell our audience what you're looking at to help make that happen.
Okay. So Teen Years originally started as a startup, quote unquote, meaning like a business, because that's the event I happened to be at. I did not know much about creating a business or a startup, but we were invited to apply for the ABQ Idea Accelerator, which offers a $20,000 investment into your idea to help bring it into fruition if they select you. Teen Years was selected.
Wow.
So we got that investment, which helped me take some time off work to try and make it happen. And that was about 2 years ago. So now I've been doing it full time for over a year and a half. Well, full time as having a 4-year-old daughter, I do it every moment that I don't have her.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm very excited. In June, we just signed a partnership with Sync New Mexico. I don't know if you're familiar with them, part of the Rio Grande Community Development Corporation. They are a nonprofit and are acting now as fiscal sponsor for other nonprofit projects throughout the state that they really believe in. And what that means is that you, Dirk, if you wanted to make a contribution to Teen Years, it would be tax deductible. Sync oversees that contribution to make sure that it goes to the nonprofit projects that we're working on. And then they handle the bookkeeping. They take a small cut for their service.
Mm-hmm.
And it just hopefully opens up a lot more doors for us.
Well, you know something, Trish? I sit down with a lot of people, and I don't think there's any doubt about Teen Years doing well.
Aww.
As you go forward.
Thank you.
For two reasons. You have the foresight. You know where to go and who to get, create relationships with to help your business, but you're a driver. You're a little go-getter. You're going to make things happen. So that's exciting. It's exciting for New Mexico, and I think actually it's probably exciting for the United States. So that's pretty cool. give us your contact information.
Okay. Teenyears.com is our website. You can learn everything there is to learn there. And our phone number is 505-600-1297. You can also email me directly anytime if you'd like, trish@teenyears.com.
Great.
And for those who don't know, T-E-E-N, like teenager, I-O-R-S.com.
Okay, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, here on 94.5 FM and AM 770 News Radio, KKOB. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, is heard live weekly on Saturdays, beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time and streams to a global audience on 770KKOB.com. Before I continue my conversation with Trish Lopez with Teenyears, we've added a new segment. It's called Because You're a Senior, These Are Available to You. We'll be discussing things like offerings and discounts, like Amtrak's 15% discount to travelers 62 and older, and Southwest Airlines offers a special senior fare for those over 65. So make sure that you tune in for Because You're a Senior, These Are Available to You. All right, Trish, welcome back.
Thank you.
We've got a phone call from Susan. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
How can we help you?
Well, the question I have is, can I hire a teenager to maybe go with me to someplace like Walmart and help me pick out a new tablet, because the one I have has died, and I'm trying to get advice from people, and they're not helping me much.
Oh, absolutely.
They're telling me things that I can't understand and wanting me to spend way more money than I want to. And I try to look at the reviews online, and I'm totally overwhelmed.
Absolutely, Susan. We would love to help you with that. It's funny. My mom goes through those same things, and I can't stand for her to go to the Verizon store or whatever because I know people are trying to sell her on things. Teenyears works in two ways, private individual coaching sessions and group events, like a senior living community hiring us to help their residents. So with a private individual session, people can either come to our office with their portable device, and we charge $44.95 per hour for private one-on-one tutoring. Or we can go to their home or meet them wherever they would like, because we have over 18-year-old teenyears who are really savvy, very great people. Constantly, we're getting 5-star reviews about everyone that we work with. And we would love to help you with anything like that. So long as you understand that it's personal recommendations on the teenyears' part, we don't ever want any liability issues if you buy an iPad and don't like it, or if you buy a Kindle and don't like it. So we always kind of stress that in our email confirmation.
And Trish, I'm a lawyer, so I get that. I'm not looking for perfection here, but I'm just looking for something where I can kind of say, here's sort of what I'm looking for and my price range, and somebody can kind of help point me in the right direction.
We would love to do that with you, and then they can explain to you the differences between the devices you're looking at. Absolutely.
All right, great.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Susan. Okay, let's go back to the questions. We talked a little bit about recruiting the teens. What do you pay the teens?
We pay between $10 and $15 an hour. And I'm really proud of that, because that's far above minimum wage in New Mexico. And we're not even profitable. So even though we're not profitable, we try to pay really well, because I would like... it's not a full-time job. Like, we have 13 different teenyears, not because we have so many clients regularly, but because everyone has a different school schedule and they have different commitments in their lives. So teenagers and college students and homeschool students, they're like, I really want to work. I really want to build my resume, but I only have the weekends available. Is that okay? I only have Tuesdays available, et cetera. So we actually work 7 days a week and evenings, but it's just always different teenyears.
Well, I understand. I did a little bit of homework, and I understand you have won a number of awards. So talk about that.
Ooh, okay, thanks. I'm like, this is really cool. So first of all, when we pitched teenyears, when I pitched the idea of tech-savvy teens helping seniors at this startup event, and everyone else was pitching apps, you can imagine how sexy and exciting it was. But lo and behold, ended up building a fantastic team. We ended up winning first place at that event, which is why people were suggesting we apply to the Business Accelerator, the ABQID one in town. And when we got in, it was super cool. We got tons of attention from being there. We were one of the first companies out of like 12 to actually sell our product. Mm. And, you know, I must say a lot of people, I think, really underestimated the idea and did not think it was a particularly great idea. They thought it was cute in the beginning. And we've surpassed a lot of people that are also trying to create organizations in New Mexico and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm really proud of that. I forgot what you said. Oh, awards. Just last year, won a Hall of Fame award from Silver Horizons New Mexico. Innovate Her Award, Make Better Today contest by Lenovo Computers and TakePart.com, which was a national award, and it came with a $5,000 grant. Aging 2.0 People's Choice Award, and we got second runner-up out of 10 this past year, like just a few months ago, to a bunch of really cool tech companies, including a robot that we beat out, which was awesome because we're very much a small little train that could in these kinds of national and global competitions. So yeah, we've won a number. They're on our website. I can't really think of them right now, but I've been really excited to see. Oh, Albuquerque Business First, a People's Choice Award and an Innovation Award at their inaugural Innovation New Mexico event last year.
Good for you, Trish. Well, talk about some of the most common problems that seniors have with their tech devices.
I think one of the most common problems is that they're afraid to look stupid to a kid. Mm-hmm. And when that's what I think the problem is with people like me helping my mom, because I'm not a teacher. I'm not a particularly great tutor. I'm better now. It's weird how I knew what to tell the teens to do, but I wasn't doing it myself. But most of us aren't naturally good at teaching. So if I'm trying to teach your mom, Dirk, and she's like, I get it. Mm-hmm, yeah, that kind of makes sense. She doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. It's a hardcore yes. Oh, I see. Like, you can see it in their face when they
light
get something.
Bulb.
And yeah, so seniors are often afraid, older people, any of us actually, are often afraid to say, I didn't get that. Can you repeat that again? I still didn't get it. Can you repeat that again? Mm-hmm. We will repeat things 40 times. Like we always say, we got nothing better to do. We got nowhere else to be except here with you. So you tell me if you get it if you're not getting it, I'm going to approach this differently. So them being open to asking questions and not feeling like they look stupid, because all of us have to learn technology, even the kids. Some of their other issues are really, really afraid of being online, because the messages they definitely get is that it's not secure to be online. It's not that I would argue with that. It's that I would say, yes, that's true, but please don't worry necessarily about, I don't know, creating a Facebook page. If you want to see your loved ones, and this is the only way you're going to see your kids and grandkids except their yearly visit, you can see tons of what's going on in their life by following them on social media. Mm-hmm. You know, we connect as best we can. And if we can't have in-person human connection or phone, it's always nice to see these pictures. And with the younger generations, that is just the best way to connect with them right now if you can't see them in person. So opening them up to new ideas without risking their security and showing them ways that they won't risk it. So yeah, I've got it. I can think of another. I don't want to go on too long. There's many.
No, that's great. Well, I know Bob. I think Bob has a question.
No, not a question, but just another example. Our one and only granddaughter lives in California, and we Skype every Saturday morning.
How
really?
Is she?
I don't know how to do that, Bob.
How old is your granddaughter?
Neither do I. It's all done on my wife's computer.
How old is your granddaughter?
She was 2 a couple of days ago.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool. Yeah, definitely. My daughter's 4, and when she first used FaceTime on her iPhone, she was just, which is Skype, basically, she was just ecstatic and would prefer to make phone calls that way now, which makes sense to me, because why not look at your face?
Well, my daughter and her husband live up in Colorado, and if I want to talk to them, calling them on the phone probably isn't the most effective way. It's texting them.
Yes.
They'll text back so much quicker than they'll return.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, it's really, I mean, I was just talking to Martha while we were sitting outside before the show, and I was saying things have changed so much in the last 10 to 15 years than they did the previous 50 or 60 years, I think, mm-hmm. as far as communication between humans. And certainly, even with the kids, like the teen years that I know, they're like, why did you send an email? Is everything okay? Kind of like, it's so formal to them. It's like you and I receiving mail. Like, why wouldn't
really?
You just send me an email or a
yeah.
text? I feel like mail to us, you know, that's uh-huh. that's like what email is to kids nowadays. It's just sort of formal. And so texting is how we communicate.
Okay. Give us your contact information and we'll have to go to break.
Okay. We are at teenyears.com. That's our website, teenyears.com. You can reach me, Trish, at teenyears.com, TRISH, or call us 505-600 1297. We're also on all social media, so please get in touch.
Okay. Thank you so much, Trish.
Thanks.
All right. Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. I'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. Gray Matters is heard weekly on Saturdays beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time and streams to a global audience on AM 770 News Radio, KKOB. New Mexico Reverse Mortgage's weekly Q&A questions. This week we had an email. Says, my husband and I have been considering a reverse mortgage, but my husband is in poor health, and we're worried that when he passes, I might not be able to afford the property taxes on our home because our Social Security income will drop. Can you help me? All right. There is a way that a reverse mortgage can help in this situation. There's an option called a life expectancy set aside, or LISA for short. With this LISA option, your property taxes and homeowner's insurance is put aside and the reverse mortgage servicer makes the payments for you. The amount of money is put in the reverse when you first establish your reverse mortgage. We calculate how much will be needed depending on your age and your projected life expectancy. This means that you will no longer need to budget or worry about saving money to pay your taxes and insurance during this life expectancy. It leaves you with more money in your pocket each month, and since you're living on a fixed income, you may like this option because of the weight that it lifts off your shoulders. Excuse me. So now you know that a LISA can be used to help those who no longer wish to pay their taxes and insurance themselves. However, it may also be established for borrowers who have glitches on their credit. With the taxes and insurance set aside, the lender no longer has to be concerned that a borrower might get behind on these required obligations. This is one of the new borrower safeguards established by HUD to help avoid foreclosure. And then the second question is, my neighbor said that my debts and income level is looked at by an underwriter to determine if I qualify for a reverse mortgage. What if I have some late payments on my credit report? Can I still qualify for a reverse mortgage? Well, I don't have enough information to tell you whether you qualify or not, but if you give me a call, I'd like to get some more detailed information about your situation. But in the meantime, let me explain a little about the qualifying process. The reverse mortgage principal amount, which a lot of you would understand to be your loan amount, is determined by your age and the value of the property. Once we've established that you have enough assets or equity to qualify, we can then do a financial assessment. The financial assessment looks at your credit history to see if you have paid your debts on time. Your credit scores are not used to determine whether you qualify. It also takes into account how much income you have for your day-to-day living and other debt obligations. We do not do the same type of debt-to-income calculations used by conventional lenders. Now, depending on how many late payments you've had over the last year or two, and as we mentioned in the previous answer, a LISA may be put in place to help that person qualify. You make no principal and interest payments with a reverse mortgage, and with a LISA in place, your taxes and homeowner's insurance are also paid for a predetermined period of time. So I hope that helps. My next guest is Martha Kaser with Pregenzer, Basinger, Weidman, and Sale PC. Welcome to the show, Martha.
Thanks a lot. I'm pleased to be here, Dirk.
Well, I'm excited about having you. This is going to be an interesting topic. You wanted to talk about gray divorce.
Right. That's the euphemism for people who are over 60 or 65 getting divorced today.
Okay.
And that is the fastest growing demographic among divorces. 20 years ago, maybe less than 5% of people getting divorced were over 65, and now we're headed to 10 and beyond. And why? Obviously, it is because of baby boomers aging out.
Mm-hmm.
I think you told me before we went on the air that 10 to 11,000 people every day become 65 years old.
That's right.
And so this is our demographic. It's mm-hmm. my demographic. And so the rate, as I said, is doubled in 20 years from 5 to 10%, and it shows no signs of decreasing. It's going to get going even more. I've been wondering what causes it. I've done several gray divorces myself. My first one was sort of a shock. I was divorcing two people in their 80s who had been married for more than 60 years. And I said, why not just hang in there? You're almost done. And the moving person in the divorce, and this has been true of every gray divorce I've done, looked at me and said, I'm not going to die married to that. Fill in the blank.
Really?
That's what they all say. So, yeah, there are a lot of reasons, but mostly that's it. And when you look at baby boomers and you look at how we were back in the 60s, it makes sense. I mean, we are less inclined to put up with things.
Uh-huh.
Women have more money. So, I mean, you would see a lot of people just hanging in there because they would not be able to make it financially if they were separated, and it still is difficult. Let's see, what else? So they're not stuck. Baby boomers say, we're not going to stay stuck. And then I have to say, I've done several divorces where Viagra played a large role. Now, this is a family radio station, and so I'm not going to go into detail, gentlemen. But... Yeah. It's a matter of compatibility. And I'm telling you, that little blue pill, it can be a blessing and it can be a curse. Kind of depends on which side of the pill you're on. So yes, it's a fast growing area of divorce and it has some of its unique issues. And that's what I'd sort of like to talk to your listenership about. Another reason is that we have families with adult children. And we have second and third marriages, which we never used to have anymore. Because remember, 120 years ago, at the turn of the last century, very few people lived past 50. So if you got married at 25, I mean, all you had to do was last 25 years. But today, yeah. If you get married at 25, you might be looking at a 65-year marriage. And that's a harder equation to stick with.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. So anyway, so we have second and third marriages. We have adult children of the first marriage who may not like the subsequent spouse, can cause all kinds of problems. And then people are simply living longer. So add it all up, throw in a blue pill every now and then, and that's why this rate is increasing as fast as it is.
Well, you know something, you talked about the baby boomers and 10 to 11,000 turning 65 daily.
Yeah.
There's 75 million of us. That's going through this process. So, you know, things are changing dramatically.
Yeah.
And like everything else, it has its impact on this topic.
Yes, it certainly does. It certainly does.
What are some of the special considerations that go into this, Martha?
Okay. Well, it's one thing, I think, if you're doing a divorce for people between 25 and 45, which is still the majority of divorces. But if you're getting people divorced in their 60s, they are either out of the workforce or moving out of the workforce, and there isn't going to be any more money coming into that community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people retire, their incomes are pretty much fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, whereas you could say to a 30-year-old, go back to school, go back to work. You can't do that when you're divorcing people who are that old. They've got Social Security, savings, pensions. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't going to be any more. So what I have seen in some that I have done is that the court looks at this and says, well, you know, we used to have two people with $3,000 a month in one household. Now we have two people, $3,000 a month, two households. And so the court is more inclined to equalize incomes between the parties. And certainly, if you're talking about a marriage that lasted more than 20 years,
mm-hmm.
the court will award alimony. Because you can't, after 40 years, just say, see ya.
Yes, they want it to be equitable.
Yeah, absolutely. And there isn't any other option except the existing money in the community at the time of the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So unlike someone else who can go back to school, it's just not happening there. So that's a huge one, is that you're dealing with sort of a fixed asset container. Another issue is the issue of dementia, which is also, it's sort of a cause and then it's an effect. When you're doing a divorce and you have a spouse who's got dementia, and sometimes it does happen, you need to make a lot more of a plan for healthcare expenses, which, unlike income, may increase.
Mm-hmm.
Because while people might both be on Medicare, something people don't know is that Medicaid, first of all, only applies to people who are more elderly, I mean, more impoverished, very stringent economic limits. And Medicare itself does not pay for nursing care, does not pay for nursing home care. So there may be a big chunk of planning in a senior divorce about an ill or dementia person, and how are we going to meet those medical needs? And those can become a very complicated planning issue. The firm I work in has a lot of probate and trust lawyers who have done a lot of work in thinking about how to help adjust assets so that long-term care, rehabilitation care, nursing care can be provided. And of course, that's only made more complicated if you're getting people divorced at this age.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to remind our listeners that the phone lines are open at 243-3333. I also want to say that, Martha's not here to solve your legal problems, but she will take general questions. But Bob's telling me it's time for a break. What's your contact information, Martha? Your phone number?
My phone number at work is 872-0505.
Great. Okay, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, with your host, Dirk Gray. Please listen for my future guests and show dates at the end of the show. I'm continuing my conversation with Martha Kaser. We're talking about gray divorce. And Martha, we were in the middle of special considerations. So right. Do you want to pick up there?
Sure, thanks. I think that retirement planning is really important, and as people are working longer, they have time to do some retirement planning, even if they weren't planning to get divorced. Mm-hmm. Or if they get divorced in their early 60s and they're still working, there are some things that you can do that will help stretch your money, which becomes even more important if you are contemplating divorce. There aren't that many, of what we call classic pensions left these days. But military people, government employees, Sandia, National Laboratories, some of the larger employers around here still have traditional pensions. Mm-hmm. And unbeknownst to me when I started this kind of business, there is something attached to many pensions called a survivor benefit. And what that means is that at the time that you retire, you can elect to have a piece of your pension continue after you die and pay it to your spouse. And when I'm working with people who are older, who are getting divorced and who have a pension, the survivor benefit pension is sometimes like an essential lifeline for the surviving spouse. And that can happen even after the divorce. So when you retire, you make sure that people are required to elect a survivor benefit for their surviving spouse, which then continues and can be added on to whatever Social Security benefits you might be getting. So, yeah, you have to plan this carefully. What we do is we actually draw a picture sometimes and look at key ages along the way when people qualify for Social Security, when they have to start taking money out of 401ks at 59 and a half, when they must take money out at 71, and we sort of try to calculate what the cash flow will be at all these spots along the way. Mm-hmm. That's true whether you're staying together or not. It's essential if you're dealing with people who aren't going to be back in the workforce and making more money as time goes on.
Well, you know something, let me interject something there that you just made me think of. You know, in our business, the reverse mortgage business, we use that as a tool.
Yeah.
In some cases for a number of different strategies. Mm-hmm. But that can help increase that flow of income that somebody may need as they age.
That is a great point, and that is absolutely right. Because the question is, with the same amount of money in two households, how are we going to float these boats? Mm-hmm. And if you can, as one spouse says, I'll take the house, if you can do a reverse mortgage on that, then you can maybe float your boat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really, really important. And a lot of baby boomers, I look at a lot of people that I see, they didn't plan for retirement because, of course, we were going to be forever young. And we were never going to get old. And we were in Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And now here we are, 60, and we're looking at it and we're saying, boy, Social Security is not enough.
Right.
So, I mean, one of the hardest divorces for me with older people is when there's Social Security, a house that might have a mortgage on it that is too much for one person to carry, mm-hmm. and not much else.
Right.
So, I mean, I've had to tell people, and it, I hate to say it, but I've had to say several times to older people, I'm sorry, but you really can't afford to get divorced.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
Well, that's just the reality.
Yeah, it's the reality. Mm-hmm. It's the reality. So if there are people under 40 listening today, start saving money, please,
uh-huh.
because you don't want to be in the sad situation of being stuck with a spouse that you can't really abide, and you truly don't have the assets to get divorced.
Okay, well, we've got David. David, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, thank you. And you're discussing divorce and all the associated problems. I was wondering, being in the legal industry, to what degree does or doesn't the legal field, the legal industry, legal professionals take responsibility in the modern day problems of relationships in their dissolution, divorce, and people's the resulting hesitancy on the part of individuals to want to get into such relationship that they might have these problems dissolving it later.
David, I'm not sure that I understand your question. Are you saying that divorce is such a snarl, that the process is such a snarl that people are hesitant to even begin relationships because they don't want to go through a divorce at the end of them?
Yeah, and what responsibility does the modern legal profession take or admit to in, you know, these are legal issues and they were created by the legal industry, not by the individuals in the relationships. What responsibility does the legal field take or admit to for these modern day problems?
Well, I can't speak for the entire legal industry, but what I can say is that you're absolutely right. And it's very true that there are attorneys and situations that are made more complicated by the legal process. I always encourage my clients to mediate or to work out a settled divorce instead of, you know, pounding each other into the dust. Because, you know, it's sort of like that Charles Dickens book, Bleak House, which was about an estate that took 60 years to settle. And at the end, the heirs each got one farthing. So, yes, I think that there are certainly lawyers that cause those problems, and I think that the best way to resolve those is through some kind of voluntary process, which is available, but people don't know about it.
Thank you, David. Thanks for calling in.
So when I look at this, we're getting close to our time. What can be done about this? Well, so here's what aging is. It's another life stage, and you can't approach a life stage and think that you're just going to keep on down the road like it's some kind of water slide. What people need to do is they need to think about the stage of this life, about how to look at the glass as half full and how to maybe readjust their relationship so that they don't end up in my office. Because I'll tell you, those are sad days when I see people looking like my mom and pop coming in and saying we have to split the sheets.
Thank you, Martha. Give us your contact phone number.
Okay, my contact phone number is 872-0505.
Okay, thank you so much, Martha.
My pleasure.
All right, my next 2 weeks, June 10th, Lori Millett, from an elder law attorney with ABQ Law, will be on the show. Ed Nunez, the operations manager at Mazzano Mesa Multigenerational Center, will be on the show. On the 17th of June, Brad Yablonski is an attorney discussing Social Security, and Shannon Frost from Meals on Wheels will be on the show. I want to thank Martha Kaser and Trish Lopez for being my guests. I also want to thank my producer, Bob, as well as the 770 KQOB team for making Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, your favorite place for all things senior, and you, our audience, for joining today's broadcast. Thank you for listening to the voice of reverse mortgages and seniors in New Mexico. If you'd like to call, the office phone number is 505-897-4900 or go to 770kqob.com. My NMLS number is 222-785. New Mexico Reverse Mortgages NMLS number is 1102656. This information is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or a government agency. If the borrower does not meet loan obligations such as taxes and insurance, then the loan will need to be repaid. The information given during the show is not meant to be all-inclusive. Any guests on the show are not endorsed by Gray Matters, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, or KKOB. I want to thank you for joining me today. Bob, I think it's been a great show. What do you think?
I think it has been, too. They're all great shows.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Dirk Gray.